This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah waliyya salihin. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh khatam al-anbiya'i wa mursaleen. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala abdika wa rasulika muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi wa man da'a bi da'watihi wa stanna bi sunnati ila yawmiddin. وَسَلَّمْ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا أَمَّا بَعْدْ. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and surely Allah is the friend and protector of the righteous. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way, and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by reminding myself and you of the importance of taqwa, the importance of the consciousness of Allah, that we remember the presence of one who is mighty in power, who has knowledge of all things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in his glorious book, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasuli yu'tikum kiflaini min rahmati wa yaj'al lakum nuran tamshuna bihi wa yaghfir lakum wallahu ghafur rahim. Allah has revealed in his eternal book, O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and believe in his messenger, and Allah will give you a double portion of his mercy. He will provide for you a light by which you shall walk, and he will forgive you, and Allah is the Lord of great bounty. And so in this mighty ayah in the book of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we should have taqwa, but at the same time, we should confirm this with our belief, especially our belief in the last messenger, peace and blessings be upon him. And these two elements, taqwa and iman, and the mufassirin will say, dawimu, athbitu, continue in your belief. Say it with your tongue, believe it in your heart, practice with your limbs. Express your faith in everything that you do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a great blessing, because the taqwa naturally leads to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our guide. And by having these two in front of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would provide nur, a light. And this is not only just a physical light, but a spiritual light. And today in the darkness of the world, we are so much in need of the spiritual light. In the confusion that is around us, we are in need of the nur, of the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he gave to the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, what he gave to his companions, and those great leaders and scholars up until our time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this light, and we are moving along in our lives, would also give us forgiveness. And that is what we need more than anything else in our existence. O you who believe, recently I had the opportunity to travel in Guyana, in South America, to cross the Berbice River on one side, to cross the Demerara, to go down into the interior and be with the Amerindians. And I can say honestly that there is tremendous potential in that part of the world. There is tremendous potential in the land itself, which is rich with minerals. In the rivers, there is life teeming. And in the people, there is also great potential. But it is crucial here that Muslims develop this ability to see the real issues. And that may have something to do with the nur, with the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the believers who have taqwa and iman. In the Amerindian population, and these are the original people who populated the Americas thousands of years ago, we found amongst the Arawak tribe, in dealing with one of the chiefs of an Arawak tribe, that the idea of Tawheed is still alive. It is still alive. And the wise ones call it Adayeli. And the idea of Adayeli is the Great Spirit. The Great Spirit. The scholars tell us that if there are people living in deep jungle areas or high on mountains who the message has never come to, then they are under the mercy of Allah. Allah can forgive them or punish them. But their belief in one God, if their belief in the Great Spirit is strong, and they are trying to be good people in this life, then they are categorized as Muslims. So we need to consider this with a great opportunity now, with languages dying, traditions dying amongst the original people, missionaries coming to them. It is an opportunity for Muslims to fulfill our mission, and that is bayan, that is to take the message to all those who are not present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us in Surah An-Nahl, in verse 36, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِي أَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And verily we have sent to every nation a messenger, to every nation, that they would worship Allah and stay away from false gods. In the African population, there is also great potential. But that potential of Tawheed that still exists in the understanding of the people needs to be coupled with empowerment. Empowerment of a people who are broken down in the slavery period. An interesting information came to the surface during this trip, known by the scholars, but needs to be known by the general population. And that is that the African Muslims who came during the Atlantic slavery period, over one third of them who came to the Americas were Muslims. Even in Guyana, where information had not come to the surface so clearly, we find in the 1763 rebellion of Kofi, and many of you may know about this great rebellion that the slaves had against the colonial rulers, that the terms and conditions of the peace treaty between Kofi's people and the government was written in Arabic. This is documented now. So either somebody who was with him or he himself was Muslim. We also find in the 1806 rebellion, we find a document called Watiqa. It is a document written in Arabic, circulated amongst the slaves, calling them to resistance against oppression. In 1823, in the Demerara slave rebellion, they clearly identified one Muslim driver. They called him Bob, but officially he was Muhammad, which means he was a Muslim. Names recorded in the African population are now coming to the surface, that some of their names were Muhammad, Mamadou, Salat, Musa, Hannah, Sabah, Fiki, Rusani, and a number of names that can be directly connected to the Muslims who came to the Americas in the early times. In the Hindu population in Guyana, there is great despair. There is a spiritual vacuum. And one of the startling statistics is that the level of suicide that so many people in this sector of the population are committing suicide. One of the factors in this is drinking rum by drinking alcohol, not having spiritual direction. It is causing people to take their own lives. So it is the job of the Muslims to fill the spiritual void of these groups of people. And in looking at the Muslim population and seeing, alhamdulillah, large amounts of people who come out to our programs, it was clear that what is hitting the Muslim population there is the same thing hitting us here, and it is hitting us in most of the Muslim world. And that is a concept which is identified by many of the great scholars, Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, in his great Muqtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin. He has identified a type of mental condition. It's almost like a spell, something cast upon the people. And it is called ghurur. And ghurur is a very important issue for us now to discuss. Because with our large numbers that come out, not only in South America, but in the Middle East, in here, in many parts of the world, with our large numbers that come out, there is something on the inside, there is something that we need to reanalyze at this critical point, this critical juncture in our history, to reanalyze ourselves as Muslims. What is it to be a Muslim? Is it enough just to come to pray? Is it enough to eat halal food? What is the real reality of being a Muslim? And Ibn Qudama rahimahullah identified the importance of this issue. Ghurur is the opposite of taqwa. Taqwa is based on al-khawf wa raja, fear and hope. If you fear something, you move back from it. If you hope for something, you move towards it. So taqwa is a stimulant. It stimulates you to carry out the will of Allah. It is the consciousness of God that enables the individual to stay away from wrong things. It also inspires you to do good things. It's a stimulant. And Ibn Qudama rahimahullah pointed out very beautifully that anything that leads you to stagnation, anything that slows you down and makes you think you're saved, this is ghurur. Because ghurur is delusion. It's an illusion. Ghurur is that which you think is a reality, but it's not really a reality. And ghurur comes in many ways. A general ghurur that comes over our populations is that people believe that if Allah will forgive everything, inna Allah kareem, Allah kareem, Allah will forgive everything. So we don't have to work now. We'll wait until we're elderly and then we'll fast and make hajj and everything will be okay. This is an illusion. And this right now, I believe, is one of the greatest tricks of the evil one on our nation. Because we have everything in place. We have enough people. We have enough natural resources. We have knowledge, we have skills, right? But what is it that would convert those skills into a frozen block of ice that doesn't make progress? This is ghurur. And our scholar rahimahullah has pointed out that one form of ghurur is when people identify with their parents. So he might say, I don't have to give charity, I don't have to give sadaqah to the center. My father used to give sadaqah here. My father gave 20% to build this place. Why do I have to give? My mother used to give gold bangles. You see? So if he hides in the work or the achievements of the parents and doesn't work himself, that's ghurur. You see it? That's what it is. It slows you down. There are also cases of people who feel that their good deeds are actually more than their bad deeds. And so the person might have a shop, or the person might have a business, and he exploits the people in the business. But he gives sadaqah. So he gives sadaqah. So he believes that the sadaqah that he gives would actually overcome the exploitation in the business. That's deception. And this is a deep concept, because he's giving sadaqah. The real answer to this is for him to look at his complete business itself, to redo his business and his economic life, so he is not involved in exploitation. There is also a case where the person makes istighfar in the morning, gets up and makes 100 astaghfirullah, and counts how many blessings there are, and you can do a counter. If you do it in the masjid, you get 27 more, and you know, whatever. If you go to Mecca and Medina, and you put 100,000 on it. So he does istighfar in the morning, and the rest of the day he's backbiting, scandalizing, cursing, doing things against Allah. But because what happened in the morning, he thinks the rest of the day is erased. That is deception. That is the essence of deception. And this deception can even come to the scholars themselves, where there are scholars who teach what it is to have a clean heart, what it is to be a good person, but they don't do it themselves. They don't apply it to themselves. Or there are those who may claim to be a great Sufi scholar, right? Or a great Azhar graduate, or somebody great person, but he's only great in the clothing, in the sayings, but not in his actual actions. It's a deception. It's a deception. And this is a serious issue, even to the Quran readers themselves. And Ibn Qudama pointed out in his time, which is hundreds of years ago, and we see it today, that there will be people who will read Quran in a beautiful way, like you go to a recital or a symphony. But the Prophet ﷺ said the time would come when people would read this Quran in beautiful tones, but it wouldn't pass their throats. It would not pass their throats. It wouldn't touch their hearts. Ghurur can come in many different ways. A person constructs a building only to have his name on the building. And if his name is not put on the building, he will refuse to construct the building. So what is the purpose of the construction of the building? Is it for his glorification, or is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are forms of ghurur which are now striking our nation. And we are in a very critical point. Every day we turn on the news and something else has happened. You don't even want to watch the news. Something else has happened. And it's not because of our numbers. It is not because of our knowledge. It's something inside the hearts that has to change in order for us to use this great potential. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah showed us that of the cures of this is that we need to have a mind, a clear mind, that knows the realities, knows the realities of ourself. In other words, we criticize ourselves. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? How can I improve myself? So we learn ourselves. Secondly, we learn what is happening around us. We understand the conditions around us. And then we know our Lord. We need to have minds and hearts that are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are truly aware of the Lord, and not the last moment when the person will cry out for Allah. But now when we are feeling healthy, feeling good, think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, and it's so important, to be connected to the next life, to be connected to the hereafter. If we are connected to the hereafter, and don't see it as something far off, but something real, right now connected to us, then we have reached a high level. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Kayyis mendana nafsa wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. He said, the intelligent person is the one who controls himself and works for what is after death. That's al-kayyis. Wal-ahmaq or a'jaz in some riwayas. Wal-ahmaq man atba'a nafsahu hawaha. Watamanna ala Allahi al-amani. And the fool is the one who lets himself go. He lets himself go and then hopes that Allah will forgive him in the end. This is described as a fool because the life of this world is so short. We are here one moment, gone another moment. But the hereafter is eternal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly shown us, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They will live in the next life forever. So the actions that we do now, we need to think about the actions. And this is not just here or in South America. This is all over the Muslim world. Especially those in leadership. If we are about to do something, think about what is the result of this. What will be the result of my actions? Will it be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will it be destructive to humanity? Because this ghurur, this deception, is what is blocking us from our real mission. And that real mission is to take this message to all peoples on the earth. There are people now dying from alcoholism, dying in despair, laying in the gutter, killing the members of their own family, killing themselves, because they don't think that there's anything possible. But we have gems of wisdom. We have an alcohol-free society. We have a drug-free society. These are the real missions of the Muslims. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into our hand to test us. To test us whether we would make the right decisions. So this is a challenging time that we are living in. But if we look at it in a positive way, and the Prophet ﷺ used to say to his companions, Bashiru wa la tunafiru, yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Make it easy. Or used to say, give glad tidings. Be positive. Look at the positive side of things, not the negative. Don't drive people away. Make the religion easy. Don't make it difficult. And so it's a great opportunity we have at this point in time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a chance to do something with our lives, to do something with our wealth, and to teach our children, give them the right direction, so that if we can't stand for Islam, somebody will stand for it. Somebody will take the message to the poor masses who are being blocked out by the politics of this world. And so we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless us and clear our hearts of any evil thoughts and any deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clear our hearts of tribalism, to clear our hearts of greed and pride. May Allah clear us of anger and overused emotions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ranks, so that we can love each other, regardless of color, nationality, language, passport. We can look at each other as Muslims, and we can look to the non-Muslims as our fellow human beings who are also suffering in this world. I leave you with these thoughts, and I ask Allah to have mercy on me and you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمتي المال. Every nation has a trial and test, and the trial and test of this nation is wealth. وَيَقُولَ الْحَقُّ سُبْحَانَهُ مُخْبِرًا وَآمِرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ورد الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة